Show with Anna DeBlantis for another day of broadcast insolence on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Yes.
And we would like to say that there are so many things that are happening in our fair little world right now that we need to get to. Coming up, Ben Bradley is going to join us on the DCFS faulting on high caseloads. And, you know, that's the neglect investigation, the whole thing that's happened here, you know, with this AJ Friend story.
Terrible.
International story. And how did, you know, what's happening? What is happening? He's going to have that. Also, the rideshare world may have a problem tomorrow as the union for rideshare drivers is thinking about having a work action.
Yeah, they've Uber and Lyft maybe all, or at least encouraging drivers to go on strike tomorrow and do so for 24 hours. This the week Uber is going public. Its IPO is happening, and they think it's a nice time to direct attention to wages and the treatment of drivers.
Who is on strike these days?
May I have a question? May I ask a question?
Sure.
Rokan, American Television.
Great.
Is there a union representing these people? How do you unionize guys with an app? Men and women with an app and just show up from other states who are driving backwards on a street they shouldn't be on.
Seems like the union has some more work to do.
Right.
Training.
Exactly.
Would be nice. It sounds like, I don't know if it's a loose way to say, just the organization, you know, because they're organized in terms of being in contact with each other on apps, etc. But I don't know if in some states they have unions.
I mean, what I don't understand. I mean, I understand the idea, you know, like I get that. Hey, if I'm the Teamsters, I'm like, you know what we need to do?
Right. There's a lot of work.
You know, it'd be really funny is if we jump in and we try to unionize the Uber and the Lyft drivers. That'd be something, you know, rideshare drivers of America.
I also thought that this was kind of something for people to do for extra money, not a full-time job. I thought that was kind of understood.
They say it's 75% of their workers do it about, you know, 10% of the time. So it's like it's an extra, or 10 hours or less, I'm sorry. So it does seem for the majority of their drivers, it is an extra gig, right? To pick up, just like as you're explaining, some extra dough. And then there's this other 25% number that really does this to pay the bills and, you know, keep food on the table.
Or to socialize. Because they're lonely.
Who does this to socialize?
I think people do, man.
What?
I do.
I've met a lot of Uber and Lyft drivers who are not very social.
Yeah.
They drive you and they do the thing.
I think there are people that do this because they want to get out and they want to just do something.
100%.
There's a bunch of retirees. I think you see that more in the suburbs than you see in the city. Mm-hmm. In the city, you're seeing guys who are doing this, you know, either as part-time or part of another kind of hustle that they got going. There's a lot of hustle on the hustle here. I see cab drivers now, you know, with their Uber app up or their whatever.
Do you see that?
That's whatever that is. That's like a and people are on multiple. You pull up behind a car and it's got a sticker for everything.
You know, it's like Uber, Lyft, Via,
like
everything.
And then they got the little, you got that, and like Lyft wanted to up the ante by putting a little pink thing in the front of the light up deal. Well, the mustache, right? Which I thought was weird, because that's like, I don't know, ride, mustache. It's got a bad connotation.
It does feel as if there are too many right now, right? Too many, like, opportunities for rideshare and cabs and public transportation. There's just so many. It almost defeats the purpose of ridesharing. You've got that many cars on the road trying to pick up, you know, Lyft and Uber customers.
And then in the meantime, you get somebody else who, like, pops up. Who is, you know, they had the story this week about a guy that was doing this, intentionally, looking to people to do bad things to, right?
Oh.
And again, they haven't got that whole thing sorted out completely, right? I still don't think it's deep enough in terms of what these rideshare companies are doing in terms of making sure that they're putting people behind the wheels, because they don't necessarily laying eyes on these people and talking to them for any, you know, real period of time. I know they're going to make the argument that, you know, cab companies don't necessarily do that either. This is not like taxi where they all come off their shift and then they, you know, sit around at a picnic table inside a garage
and they know who the problems are on in their lives.
Yeah.
No, but you don't. They get their cars inspected once a year and they have to pass certain tests, but then Uber does the background checks through their own outside company, and I think that's what cab drivers have been upset about. And
right. And cab drivers, you know, they got it. Like the city can literally knock you out of business in a heartbeat.
Easily. You call that 311 number and you can report anything that happens in a cab. Typically, they'll go and investigate it. I don't feel as if the follow up is the same on an Uber or Lyft
right.
driver.
You give a guy one star, he just gave you one star back. Take
He's
that.
Like, yeah, right. Who's going to pick you up now? The other 109,000 Uber or Lyft drivers out on the road.
I do like when people get
Chicago.
Demoted. Like Uber was your gateway thing, and Uber still is sort of the gold standard, I guess, because they were first in. You know that mm-hmm. sort of a principle. Mm-hmm. But I know people who've already like caused so much trouble on the Uber. They're at Lyft, and they're like, "All right, I'm going to behave with Lyft because I don't want to lose my Lyft capability."
My favorite is when you get in a Lyft or Uber, and they tell you why they were fired from the other one. Yeah, I just had some dope in my car, and some passengers, they smelled it, and it didn't work out well for me. So I'm trying it again.
I'm saying as a consumer.
That's okay.
As a consumer, you have to suck up to these people,
too.
Oh,
I see what you're saying. So you get the five-star rating.
Right, because if you don't get the five-star rating, no one's going to, you know, in the rain, you're never going to get picked up.
In the rain, that's true. I think typically you can get one, but yeah, in the rain. Not, it's a problem. But they're saying, so Lyft drivers earn over $20 an hour, according to the data here. So Lyft drivers do better.
So what's the problem?
They get a bigger share of the amount you pay.
Oh. So that maybe they want to say that to the Uber and get the Uber out of the business.
Maybe they're trying to cut into it. But it's IPOs this week for Uber, and so it's a big time, a lot of emphasis on what's going on with the company. They certainly don't want to take a hit in user and ride, you know, the number of rides being taken. I've noticed, though, if you've seen, Uber seems to be, like, there's this new fee about the waiting.
Breaking. Hold on, this is breaking right now from the Wall Street Journal. Lyft, in its first quarterly report, has said that their revenue doubled from a year ago.
Oh, my gosh.
But they still posted a loss.
Hmm. How would that be possible? Because they don't really have to do
it. They got my accountant. That's how it's possible.
It's like these Hollywood things. Right. Yeah, but this movie made no money.
We're never going to make no money on this. We'll tell you that right now.
It's just a technology company, right? I mean, because they don't have to own the vehicles. They don't have to own...
Ah, yeah, it's real expensive. We got guys writing code all day long. That's super expensive. We got that thing, too. You know how many... Let me tell you how much meals and entertainment we got on this thing. Look at this. Look at our tax return.
Yeah, the Uber CEO is taking some heat, too. I'm sure he'll be mentioned in the rally tomorrow here in Chicago because the Uber CEO took a major payout, you know, like $50 million.
Yeah, I would, too,
so
if I were him.
People are not happy with that.
Get out of this before something really bad happens.
Time to exit.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's check in with Ben Bradley in the WGN TV newsroom coming up right after Kim in the WGN radio newsroom tells us what's happening at the bottom of the hour. Benjamin Bradley joins us from the WGN Television Newsroom.
Good afternoon. Happy Tuesday to both of you.
Thank you very much.
Ben.
We were talking about the rideshare strike mm-hmm. tomorrow.
Yes.
Is that going to impact your world?
I only rideshare if I'm, you know, going to be consuming alcoholic beverages. Mm-hmm. I try not to do that on days that I work. You know, got to keep it classy.
Yeah. Someone does.
Yeah.
One of us.
I'll be curious to see how many actually participate in that supposed strike. You know, over the years, taxi drivers in Chicago have threatened to strike and tried to, you know, sideline their cabs. And really, they struggle with getting people to participate.
You know, it's amazing to me how there are 109,000 rideshare drivers in the Chicagoland area. And you think about how it's just become such a part of our lives. How do we deal without it? There was a story in the Wall Street Journal about how a big deal in New York is sending unaccompanied minors, your kids, mm-hmm. to their, you know, right. events because you're at work and you can't, you know, transport them yourself. So you get your 10-year-old and your 8-year-old in a Uber and off they go.
Boy, things that you would have never thought you would have done just a couple of years ago.
Someone you don't
and
know.
I think Uber and Lyft have rules that are sometimes not enforced by the drivers
right.
about how old you're supposed to be to ride alone.
They don't allow it. They say no unaccompanied.
Yeah, but you know, my nephew who, you know, is a city kid just like you and mm-hmm. and he, you know, would bomb all around the city. He went to St. Ignatius, lived on the north side, had sports practice and, you know, so he would, you know, take full advantage of it.
Right.
And was he ever refused? Like, ever told by a driver that you know
of? I would hear the stories, you know, about him riding, but I never heard that he had been refused, no.
Hmm.
You know, the parents say, well, gosh, there's a peace of mind because I can look at the phone if he's using my Uber app and see exactly where he is.
You know, it's
yeah, it gives you some confidence, like some peace of mind.
as a young child growing up in the city, once my parents, you know, once I got into middle school, my parents said, you're responsible, you know, for getting to and from, and CTA was the way that I was supposed to do that. But I'm not a morning person. I'm going to be the first to admit that I'm not a morning
really?
Person. Yeah.
You?
So, I know. And so, there were from time to time, I would rush out of the house, and I would have to take a cab to school. And the thing is,
can you see a 10-year-old Ro trying to hail a cab?
Well, that was the problem.
With his cravat and his shiny shoes, his Gucci shoes.
That was the problem, is that as a little kid, the cab drivers, especially in the morning, they're like, I'm not going to pick you up.
Yeah, he's like, definitely not going down to the financial district.
Right. They're like, what are you doing? And so I'd go to the bus stop, and I'd like try to hail cabs. I'm like, it's got to go faster. It's got to go faster.
I picture you dressed occasionally like Richie Rich, you know, with a little bit of maybe some tails and a top hat.
Yeah, no. But no. thank you for the image.
You know, a family we know who lives on the south side, and they have a 10-year-old who goes to school at a charter school on the near west side.
Mm-hmm.
That 10-year-old takes the bus and train to school every single day, CTA. And I would struggle with that.
Well, it's interesting. You know, you think that they're like alone, but generally, well, in that case, it might be because that might be a unique route.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to a school, you know, like in a neighborhood or whatever, generally at that time
but
of the
that's
day,
the issue. That's nobody goes to neighborhood schools anymore. Not nobody, but a lot of kids don't go to neighborhood schools anymore.
That's true. You don't. I mean, we took Tulane Tech. I had to take the Western bus twice. You know how it stopped there for the little change where you had to change onto the next bus if you're coming from far north. And over, what was it? What street is it? Like Lawrence, roughly that area. Mm-hmm. You go to, and then you would take that over. But there were a bunch of us when we were, you know, 14, who, you know, you'd get on it, you'd stop, and suddenly there'd be, you know, 20 Lane Tech students, on the bus. So it felt like a little safer in numbers, kind of thing.
Yeah, and you see St. Ignatius kids taking Metra, you know, in from the suburbs
all the time
down to Union Station, and so you know it.
A lot of the big Catholic high schools have that because they, you know, they draw from everywhere,
right?
You know, whether it's Mount Carmel does the same sort of thing.
But I wonder how many of them are taking Uber and Lyft now.
I bet a lot more.
Yeah,
you know, you just think.
And now the cab drivers are more than willing to pick you up. They pick up dogs that look a little lost, or maybe there's a credit card. Maybe I can chip the dog and get something out of this.
Is that dog chipped with Apple Pay? They're holding the dog for the reader.
Swipe the dog. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to work or not. All right. What else you got coming up?
So the Illinois Auditor General is out with a new look at DCFS. This was actually initiated 2 years ago after the death of Smaje Crosby down in Joliet. And, boy, it reconfirmed some of your worst fears about the state of disrepair inside the Child Welfare Agency, which is supposed to look after the well-being of some of our state's most at-risk kids. Among the findings from this Auditor General's report, that it 55% of calls to the hotline to report abuse and neglect weren't immediately answered. They went to voicemail and they had to be called back. Well, you know, if this is an emergency situation, that's certainly not the standard that DCFS wants to have. There were 75,000 reports of abuse and neglect in the state of Illinois in 2017.
But isn't it a caseload problem? I mean, how do you can put it all on the agency, but is it also a funding issue?
Yes, and it historically has been. Real quickly on that 75,000 reports of abuse or neglect, 25% of them were determined to be credible. There was credible evidence that there should be concern for that child's well-being. To your point, Anna, yes, there is a huge issue with caseload. In fact, the Auditor General found that DCFS in some months is actually violating a federal consent decree by adding as many as 15 new cases to a caseworker's load every month. So they're not even abiding by court-ordered consent decrees for caseloads. And what happens when these caseworkers are overworked? Well, documentation doesn't get filled out in some huge percentage of the cases. There was no documentation about whether or not a family that was in need of services actually received those services. And then kids that were getting brought into the system through phone calls or through reports through schools, etc., they get assigned a number, kind of a tracking number. But the inspector general found that in a lot of the cases, one kid would have several numbers. So they couldn't do a credible job of saying, hey, yeah, this is the third or fourth time that there has been an allegation against this kid.
All right, more of that coming up on the WGN TV News starting at 4 o'clock right here.
We'll see you then.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Ben Bradley right there. With Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN and CLTV. And coming up a little bit later on, do we have to, it's always important to note if there are tickets to give away.
Oh.
Are there tickets to give away?
Getting a,
not on the radio program. Coming up later. And again, must remind you, the Chicago White Sox are on the, or in Cleveland. And for some reason, Cleveland likes to start their games at 6 o'clock Cleveland time.
Why is that?
I don't know. Do people... that goes back to like the old, I'm getting off work at 4
yeah,
kind of thing, and we'll make it to the ballpark, and you know, we'll do all that, and everybody works in a factory downtown. We've been to Cleveland.
We
in
have.
Downtown Cleveland. And it's...
The convention.
It's not what goes on in downtown Cleveland.
No.
Seems a little early.
So what we get... Why do they do that still?
I don't know. But I think that's... I mean, this is another reason. Well, you know, honey, we have to be home by 9.
Well, I would think that it would... It'd be hard for people to get off work just to get to the ballpark. Like, they have problems with that.
Yeah, you would think that would be the case. But somehow it works out. Maybe they don't have jobs in Cleveland. I don't know.
Maybe there's no traffic.
That could possibly be true, too. When we were leaving Cleveland, I remember, after the convention,
remember that?
We were just trying to drive away from protesters that were descending. It was a gigantic protest. It was like kind of moving its way toward us as we were trying to get out. And we're like, I'm just going to go this way. I did that thing where I like flipped I did like a movie stunt driving move where I drove and then hit the brakes and turned left and I spun the car to go the other way. And I thought, if the cops really want to come get me right now, that I'm the least of their problems.
You're not on their list right now. What were they protesting in? Do we remember?
Trump.
Oh, it was
just the night of Trump's speech.
Hmm. Yeah, we got out on time, as I remember.
Yeah.
The flames were shooting out of the back of the Taro then. It was the Taro, right?
It was the Taro, yeah.
Got us home safely.
Yes. Well, as safely as could be anticipated at a moment. You know, it was one of the wildest few days of things I've ever done in this business.
Really?
Was to be in Cleveland for that and watching the regular Republicans coming in for their convention trying to figure out what the hell they were going to do with Donald Trump.
Right.
Including people going, I'll never forget, even as great a prognosticator as Michael Steele was. Michael Steele, were you with me on this episode? I don't know if you were with me. We're walking down that, there's like a little like, it's like an alley. Alley width street that is between the downtown casino and then the sports complexes and stuff, and it's restaurants and nightclubs and things like that. Very cool part of
it
downtown
is.
Cleveland. And so I run into Michael on the street, and Michael hugs me. Michael's a big guy. I'm not a small guy.
No.
Michael's a big, tall, he is like 6'6 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts his arms around me. And I thought, oh, you know, they're going to think this is the Democratic convention. Black guy, white guy hugging in the street. We're going to kiss. I don't know what's going on. So he hugs me and he goes, it's all going to be all right. He'll be fine as president. This is all an act.
You mean how he was acting leading up to the election?
Yes.
That he would be, quote, more presidential.
Yes.
A lot of people were urging him to be.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't have that one right.
He didn't have that right. As Lauren would say.
Oh,
yeah, that's
that would get the buzzer from Lauren, I think. That would not be good. But remember, we thought it was kind of chaotic at the Republican convention. There was so much divisiveness within the party, and that when it came to the Democrats' time, they were pledging to have a unity party and be singing Kumbaya and everything would be perfect. And then the whole Bernie Sanders super delegates thing exploded and emails were released, and there was a lot of craziness there, too. Crazy.
Yeah. It was, yes, that was crazy too. But Cleveland was crazy because it was Republicans there. You know, you always get guys in cowboy hats,
yeah,
right?
Do.
There's always, it's a lot at the Republican convention. There's like, you know, one out of three has a cowboy hat. As a matter of fact, in the stadium, in the baseball stadium, the Indian stadium, they had, what is it, Conseco? What is it called? there, I think.
What was the...
The baseball stadium?
Yeah. Yeah.
Progressive,
right. It's a beautiful stadium.
It is.
But, like, the Texas delegation was all sitting, and they all wear the exact same thing. And they all have the exact same hair, and they have the exact same hats.
Right, and they sell a lot of merch.
Yeah, they sell, like, the Texas delegation, Texas Republican delegation. It's like a whole thing. It's really fun. I mean, they're really, you know, it is interesting. But they're all like, we just love this Donald Trump. He's gonna give America what for? And they were right, and Michael Steele was wrong.
That's true.
Hey, speaking of changes here, and obviously we're watching the story out of Denver and trying to get more detail here. It appears to be a shooting near a school in a suburb of Denver. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But the in Denver also, did you see this? They are going to be the first city to decide to decriminalize psilocybin, the magic mushroom.
Oh. Hmm.
Now, one wonders, how far does this go?
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly right, because Colorado is so much in the forefront of the marijuana legalization.
Is this the next thing? I think the mushroom takes you to another, that's a different level.
It seems like a bit much.
Hallucinogenic,
yeah.
Aren't
yeah.
they? That's totally different.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone who ever takes shrooms is like messed up from like a week of it. Like, dude, I took shrooms a week ago. I've been seeing stuff, man. I'm like, all right, probably don't do shrooms then, dude.
Right. Probably a bad idea.
Right.
How high
seems,
functioning are
seems
you?
Very aggressive.
I don't know. You know, that was the whole thing with the marijuana deal. I had so many friends over the last 20 years are like, listen, I get high every day and I'm a high functioning executive.
Right.
And I
you
think
do
it should be
that.
Illegal. Right. Mm-hmm. And now there's and now you go with the CDB and the whole rest of the all the rest of the stuff that's going on. You know, it's like, maybe it's working. Maybe it's, I don't know. It's an economy unto itself. And maybe for the people it works for, and it doesn't create. It doesn't make you into a lazy stoner and a bag of Doritos. It doesn't turn you into, that Brad Pitt character from
True Romance.
True Romance.
When he's talking right. to the mobster, but
right.
doesn't really
doesn't
know.
Realize he's got to get murdered, and he doesn't realize it. That's the most important thing. Yeah. As long as it doesn't make you that.
I'm not sure that the same social justice argument applies to that. And that's one of the things pushing through the legislation here in Illinois is that there's a discriminatory factor to the way these things are prosecuted and then the way that these kinds of, these kinds of sentences and arrests or even marks on your record stay with you for years, impact your job possibilities, your rent possibilities, and later in life. So they're saying that they're going to, part of this here would be to expunge the records of people, you know, who were found guilty of minor possession. But shrooms? Is there a social justice element to that?
I
don't think so either. It just feels like a highly recreational.
I didn't mean to kill that guy. I thought he was a bear.
Right. Is that, I mean, really? It seems going a little too far.
And I would say that he was a super cool dancing bear.
He was a rainbow.
He was a great bear. He was like, he was like a Grateful Dead bear dancing toward me, but he got too close. So I had to kill him.
Oh.
And it turns out it was my janitor.
Oh, gosh.
Someone get him some weed. We need to calm him down.
Sorry, dude. I don't know.
It just seems wrong.
I've seen shrooms mess people up for a couple days. This is way too aggressive.
Yeah. And I don't like the idea. You know, this is like I got sold on the idea of this, like in high school, where like the drug dealers were always the ones in high school, like, you know, that... The Native Americans. They were the first ones to use Native Americans, too, because it was part of the sales pitch. You know that the Native Americans would go into the desert, and they would take peyote.
Oh.
I'm like, what? Peyote. Eventually, it was peyote, but whatever.
Right.
It was the same kind of concept here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they would search for their spirit animal. And their spirit animal would come to them. And give them their path of life. And so for $25, you can also have a spirit animal and a path of life. And I'm like, I don't think my mom wants me to do this.
Is that what your answer was?
Am I getting in trouble for this? I don't know.
That was exactly what it was like. Mom! Johnny wants me to find my spirit animal!
He wants me to do shrooms, Mom.
I don't know if I should. It's called peyote.
Is that okay? I don't think so.
I'm like, I don't know. You know, I remember this in ninth grade, very specifically getting pitched on this, and I'm like, I don't think I can do that. I don't think this is gonna be right.
There's a day at Northwestern called Dillo Day, and that is notoriously
sure,
the time. Dillo Day, okay. Armadillo Day, and it's in May, I think. Yeah, or shortly before school lets out, and mm-hmm. that is a time when a lot of people who have. That I've heard have not done drugs before are doing drugs, and the magic mushrooms tend to circulate.
And it's like my friend told me about this Dillo Day.
I honestly have never done magic mushrooms.
I don't know anything about it.
But it just they were very present at that time. You could see that they were just you could get them if you wanted them. They were there, and you could see how messed up people were when they were on them.
Dude, go get.
Wasn't that super popular video with the lizard speaking for the guy trapped in a closet? Wasn't that guy on mushrooms?
I think so, yeah.
That was the craziest
that
thing I've
ecstasy,
ever heard.
Or both.
You just need to watch that
LSD,
again
yeah.
before you vote on this.
Molly's ecstasy, right? It's the same
It's like
thing.
A form. Yeah. It's similar Molly's ingredients.
GHB.
Just have to keep track of
I'm
all
so
this
hot.
Stuff.
I'm so hot
so
in here.
So hot.
Is anybody else hot?
He's might have to take his shirt off. He's sweating.
That's the problem. Is that Molly's the problem at the concerts,
I'm
right?
Be
where,
sick.
Where kids are like, okay, all right. So I do have a just I do have a little story about that.
Okay,
that you know one of the guys who might have been a part of the oversell on the peyote back in high school.
Okay, yeah.
Also a high functioning executive. He likes to drink. He likes to smoke. He likes to take all the hallucinogenics. Still to this day. I don't understand.
You do run into these people. Yeah. I've seen them too. They're highly functional.
So I have, one of our other friends is like, you know, he is the prototypical suburban dad. I mean, prototypical suburban dad. You know, he's got with the minivan and the whole thing.
Who left the door open? You tried to air condition the whole neighborhood?
Right. He's got the cardigan sweater. And he's
coaches softball or baseball on the weekend.
He's got the whole idea about, you know, how he's always checking his insurance papers, make sure that everything is okay.
Grass stained gym shoes from cutting the lawn.
Right. He's got
New Balance specifically.
New Balance.
He's got the whole thing worked out.
The dad jeans.
So he goes to a concert with our stoner friend who gives him something. That I think is one of the Molly things, and all of a sudden it's like, is it hot in here? Oh my God, is it hot in here? Oh God! And next thing is in an emergency room, you know, and the minivan God. Has to come pick him up at the emergency room with the kids and the van.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I thought he was having a heart attack.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I don't think this is good.
Daddy's just having an episode, kids. I'll be just fine, but isn't it hot in here? Little Johnny, isn't it hot in here? Tell the nurse I'm hot!
Why does Johnny have the head of a direwolf? Johnny, take that mask off.
Tell them to turn the AC on. Sweating profusely.
See, this is not for the civilians.
No.
This is not for the civilians.
It's not.
I mean, if you want to do it. But I'm just saying, like, to completely decriminalize and just be like, yeah, sure, everybody do shrooms.
No. I say
it's
stop it right here.
Professional drug takers and stoners.
Yes, exactly. People that, you know, that's their whole world.
Right.
Can't handle the world as it is. And, you know, unlike the rest of us who are just drinking brown liquor until we're fine. Until it's coming
that's
out of
still
our
legal,
nose.
Right?
Yeah, for the moment. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour? All right, coming up. Lori Lightfoot is in Washington, D.C.
She is. There's video of her arriving and meeting with Ivanka Trump.
Oh, boy.
Oh. To be a fly on the wall.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's got to be something right there. So we will find out from Mike Flannery, who's right there with Ms. Lightfoot, Mayor-elect Lightfoot, who's about to become mayor in, what is today, the 7th? In 13 days, right?
Sounds right, yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be very interesting stuff. All that comes your way after the top of the hour news. Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
And now, Lori Lightfoot, mayor-elect of the city of Chicago, is in Washington, D.C., meeting all the important people in Washington, D.C., which means she's meeting the Trump family. And she did. She shook hands with Ivanka Trump today. Isn't that correct, Mike Flannery, political editor to America?
That is what we're led to believe. I'm standing here in Statuary Hall at the U.S. Capitol, just outside the ceremonial office of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and Lightfoot had a meeting with her for about a half hour and has now moved on, we believe, to a meeting in the last few minutes with Steny Hoyer and Deputy Leader Clyburn from South Carolina. So, you know, she's talking federal funding, infrastructure, roads, bridges, capital bill.
This is a huge departure from Mayor Emanuel and the president, for sure, who viewed publicly.
So Rahm did meet with President-elect Donald Trump in Trump Tower in New York. Remember,
that was seven or eight feuds ago, though, wasn't it?
And he rode up the elevator with Sergey Kislyak, I'm sure. So it was like, hi. And of course, yeah, Rahm is like, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing? And he doesn't want to make eye contact with anybody. He probably could have been a witness
in dirt.
Really an important thing. All right, so go ahead. So explain.
She's certainly striking a different tone, it seems.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I suspect that, we continue to be buffeted by rumors that she might return to the White House. She's here until Thursday night. She might return to the White House and actually have a meeting with President Trump himself. So we'll keep you posted on that. But in about 15 or 20 minutes, she is expected to meet with reporters here. We've seen her walking into the White House. We've seen her walking into the Capitol. We've seen her walking around, but she's declined to talk about what's happened in those meetings. And she's going to let us know in about 20 minutes or so.
My mind reels with the possibilities of what that meeting with Trump would be. I can't even imagine. I mean, I can't imagine. That's the problem.
You know, she was probably well advised to, you know, given some of the things that she has said about President Trump and some of the things he might well say in return to her if somebody told him what she had said, probably meeting with Ivanka was a smart move.
Well, I don't think, you know, Trump is one of those guys who's a total wuss when it comes to interpersonal confrontation. He's not going to do it. He'll just mean tweet her after it's all over. You know, like, interpersonally, he's going to shake her hand and, you know, and say something charming to her. And you know, she'll give him that steely. I mean, no matter what, you can't be. It's very hard to be nice to Lori Lightfoot, because when you're nice to her, she still looks at you like you just, like she looks right through you. You know, she is a very determined, like, she has an agenda in every conversation that she's having, you know, other than, I'm sure interpersonally she's very warm, but, like, when she's doing this kind of stuff, I don't think the warm light is not.
Well, so here's the thing, we can set all that aside. You don't have to be warm or cold. I mean, you can be just purely transactional, and there are reasons that President wants a giant, maybe not the $2 trillion he talked about the other day with Pelosi, Nancy Pelosi, and Chuck Schumer, but he would benefit politically from being able to snip all those ribbons around the country, go to places. I was just talking to Adam Kinzinger a few minutes ago, by the way, who says he has been approached by people in the administration about being Secretary of the Air Force. But more on that in a minute. But he said Democrats and Republicans need, they have political reasons to need a capital bill. And, you know, he lives right near that I-80 bridge that the IDOT engineers gave 7 points out of 100. You know, he lives down in Shanahan, just north of that bridge. You know, and, you know, he says that doggone thing needs to be fixed.
Yeah. She seems like the kind of person, though, would be able to handle a President Trump in a measured way. I mean, you've heard of some of the times when she's disagreed with Mayor Emanuel and things got heated, and it feels as if she doesn't lose her cool, at least what I've heard, and certainly, as Roe points out, is fighting for what she believes in.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I've not had really tough interactions with her, so I've got it, but I've never seen her lose her cool. So
No, I don't think she's ever. That's not who she is.
No, I don't.
She's
think so.
Arya Stark is who she is. She's sort of this, like,
she'll take down the Night King.
Quiet, determined. You know, like, you look at her and you go, it's that's one of those where you just never know. That's, you know, like a prosecutor. If you've ever sat down with a prosecutor. I try to avoid this, but if it does happen,
sure, it does. You sit time down, to time.
Yeah, and you get a sense of, like, you know, they have the cards. She always, every conversation we have ever had with Lori Lightfoot, it always felt like she, even though it's an interview, it's like she had all the cards. I felt like the whole time I was a suspect in something. So I just wondered. I wonder if there is that. You know, I just cannot imagine she and Donald Trump in having more than just a really
cursory conversation,
cursory interaction with each other. Yes, but Ivanka Trump is kind of interesting. I wonder if Ivanka Trump ever like tries to blink, help me, get me out of here with her eyes. I've wondered that for a long time.
Well, you know, the Illinoisans, the Illinois delegation down here is well aware that Governor Pritzker is talking about doing a big capital bill with Mike Madigan and with John Cullerton, and, you know, a bipartisan capital bill, which would potentially have billions, tens of billions of dollars at state funding. And, you know, that would be then potential matching money for federal grants. It's enough. Just bringing the topic up down here is enough to make them all drool.
Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, jobs. It's the blood. It's the, you know, the lifeblood of Illinois politics is, you know, getting somebody's, you know, half-addled nephew a job. Right. I mean, that's the whole point of how this works. Hey, can I? I can't let you get too far away from that. So Adam Kinzinger told you that.
On
the record,
he said he didn't. We did an on camera interview.
Oh my God!
Three or four minutes before I started this phone call with you, he said he wasn't at liberty to really get into the weeds about what the outreach had been, and he said right now his plan is to run for re-election next year to represent his district. But he said if in fact this talk turns into something and he's offered the job of Air Force Secretary, he would take it in a heartbeat. He's just been promoted to Lieutenant Colonel, as you may know.
That's right. Yeah, I salute him every time. I salute him every time I see him.
And he said that's the last promotion he wants, because if you get higher than that, he told me, you can't fly anymore.
Oh, well, that makes
sense. So to get into the pilot's seat of an airplane, of an Air Force jet, you can only be a Lieutenant Colonel or below. But he would give that up to go be Air Force Secretary.
Hmm. Okay.
So
you heard it here.
So that's a little news you can use.
That is some news right there. That is.
I see some text going back from Congressman Kinzinger and you, Ro, some point.
I'm just,
if not right now, immediately.
Yeah.
Well, that would be big news.
Yeah. That's a big deal.
Well, yeah. You want to have him. Give you a buzz. You know, and fill you in. You know, I mean, he's looking. He says later this month he's going to do a week of simulator training, and you know, it'll be a week of quote unquote active duty, but it'll actually be simulation stuff to keep up with the pilot skills. But that would certainly he says it's an exciting time for the Air Force, the transitioning to the Space Force. He said he just couldn't turn it down.
He's going to go Secretary of the Air Force. I'm going to get Secretary of the Space Force.
Then he'll name you. Is that part of the deal?
Yeah. I'm asking Trump for that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the right stuff. And that's good enough. You know, if I got on Fox right now and discussed the Space Force,
sure,
in a long way, I think I could be the Secretary of the Space Force.
Get him on the phone. Who's that? That Rokon.
Wow. All right. Well, let's see what happens here. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You know, so there have been talks, but let's see. You know what? Let me just ask. Okay. All right. So she's still in with
the
Majority Leader Steny Hoyer.
All right.
So she's done with Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, Lori Lightfoot's already done with Nancy Pelosi. She's meeting also with
Durbin. So is Donald Trump, by the way.
Durbin and Duckworth today, and some of the other Democrats.
Yeah, I think, and then she's here until Thursday.
There's a
series of meetings, and so listen, if I get into the Oval Office with any of these in any of these meetings, I should tell the president, you want the Space Force, is that right? That's CONN.
Right. Yeah.
I want to text me your social security number.
He doesn't need it. He won't give me his. I won't give him mine. All right. Thank you very much, Mike Flannery. You can see him on Fox 32 tonight. Thank you, sir. All right.
Thanks. I'll show you yours if you show me mine. Is that the rule?
Yeah. Guys like me and Trump, that wouldn't be the right thing to do.
The whole thing is not right. What could happen for you, Rogan?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a very interesting thing. I mean,
it is.
We'll see if we can get some further comment from the congressman tomorrow on this.
Be great to have him.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlasis on your WGN everywhere right now, as we like to call it.
Quick Game of Thrones update, and then I know we have other things to get to.
We got nothing
Kevin,
to get to.
Are you listening?
I'm listening. Okay. Perked up in my seat.
You've never watched an episode, but we're getting you there. You watched two?
Yeah, I've only mentioned that about seven times.
In the very beginning?
The first two episodes, and then I was done.
Yeah, there's a lot of hot sex in those first two episodes.
Yeah, but weird sex, because it's the sister and the brother.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't realize that until it's too late.
Well, I think somebody I was watching with was like, oh, yeah, they're brother and sister. Or
yeah, because they tell you at some point, you find that that's one of the first things where you're watching the show and you're like, oh, well, holy crap!
Right. Oh! You know this is a different type of program.
Right.
But what they're saying is a lot of people upset about the goodbye between Jon Snow and Ghost, the dog wolf.
Yeah, how could you
dire wolf, yeah.
Right, how could you know? Right, Lauren?
Yeah.
You were upset?
It was... He just like walked away.
He's like, okay, take my lifelong pet and the one that's like saved my life multiple times. And
any dog, I will pet and say goodbye to any dog. Yeah. Not to mention my own that I don't have, but you know.
So they just kind of parted ways. Like, well, you take them, kind of thing, right?
He's like, you go north.
How come they broke up?
What was really because it's too expensive to CGI him.
What, to feed the dog? Like dog food in the Game of Thrones world is too expensive?
I'm saying it for production purposes.
Sorry, boy, can't take care of you anymore. Dog food's getting pricey these days.
Well, they kept him out of the whole last season.
The dog walker got killed by the Night Walkers. Sorry, dog.
The Night Walker was the dog walker. So when he went down.
Sorry, boy, I don't have time for you anymore.
I had no idea that the Night Walker had the keys to my house. I never met the dog walker. It was on an app. I had no idea.
Well, he only walked him at night, but still a problem.
Poor
when he's
boy,
gone.
Just don't have time for you anymore.
It was very upsetting to people about the dire wolf. I know.
People took to the social media and with the full rage of the social media. And so one of the producers was forced to explain, well, we had to cut that episode down because it was already 80 minutes. And so they kind of just sort of cut out any of the emotion.
Really?
Why? Why couldn't they go 90 minutes?
For the dire wolf? I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you hear a better explanation, Lauren?
Give the dog five more minutes for crying out loud.
I haven't heard one, but I mean, again, I get that, and I've known for a long time there's been issues. People were complaining, like you said, for not seeing Ghost in the first place, because apparently in the books they're attached at the hip,
mm-hmm.
and you never really see that after a while, and it's because it's expensive to, you know, CGI him.
Maybe you got enough money.
First of all, Kit Harington is fun-sized. Why don't you just get a ginormous freaking, you know...
Husky,
or whatever the hell that thing is. You can get a dog that looks... I mean, it looks like a dog. It looks like a wolf. You get one of those wolf-dog things, right? And you just make it... You know, they got to base it on something, and it's just... Every once in a while, the thing's running around back there. You wouldn't... I mean, the whole idea of the dire wolf is it's gigantic, right? It's like twice the size of a wolf.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So, Kit Harington is half the size of every other actor on the set, so it would work!
Hey, I'm all for it. But I don't know. I don't work in production.
He said goodbye to everyone in Winterfell, but then didn't even pet his lifelong pet,
who was missing half an ear. Did you notice that?
Oh no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, his technically his right ear was like partially cut off at the top.
Oh,
I guess to show that he was in battle.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So even he saved his life. He's been in battle, and then they just say, "Okay, you take him." He's dropping him off at the Anti-Cruelty Society, essentially. Right? I mean, is that what he's doing? He's like, okay, bye. Yeah, I'll see ya.
Yeah, the up north is probably a better place for a wolf, but, you know, come on.
It's hot. You know, imagine the shedding that would happen once it gets down to King's Landing. I just think about that for a second.
You got to brush it a lot.
Yeah. He does not have time to take on Cersei if he's constantly brushing the direwolf.
Get a lint roller everywhere in every room.
Right, it's getting everywhere. Right. You know, then half the people are allergic, right?
And there's a lot of black.
Well, maybe that's the secret to taking over.
Right, exactly. And they are wearing a lot of black, so that's going to look real bad.
Can you imagine wearing black and having a bunch of white dog hair all over it?
Yeah, there's that big shed kind of a thing. That's not a good thing.
Sansa probably wouldn't. She wouldn't like that.
No. She doesn't like anything, apparently, at the moment.
She's pretty angry.
She's very upset. Upset about everything.
So they say that, yeah, they needed to just sort of cut some time out of the episode and that responding to all the angry Game of Thrones people.
Turns out that Bran is highly allergic. to the dog.
How would she not have figured that out already?
And it's very hard for him, and he can't lint roll himself, right? So he's got that problem.
Well, he can to a certain point.
He'd have to do it with his like mouth. It'd be very Stephen Hawking. The whole thing would be very bad. I don't dig it. All I know is that people are overthinking this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I know.
People overthinking Game of Thrones, that would never happen, Ro.
Yeah. And again, this is Putin. This is the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg. He's trying to get us to fight over Game of Thrones. See what he did? Although, I wonder if this is foretelling in any way of what's going to happen.
Oh, you mean Ghost shows up in the future? You mean there's a reunion?
Or does this mean Jon Snow doesn't make it out?
Oh, God.
Because his ghost isn't with him.
Mm.
But then the big wilding... Ginger. Tormund. What's his name?
Tormund.
Wow.
I love that you know all the names. It's like it's impossible.
Anna and I were discussing that in the office earlier about how does she know all of that?
Because I'm the nerd that watches all the like explanations behind the scenes, you know, how they made the episode, all of it. I watch all of it.
Those are fun. I get to see them once in a while.
So
it's
you,
very intriguing.
You and Tormund and all the, you know, whatever else goes on here. Tormund is going maybe? Do you think we're going to see Tormund again? Do you think we're ever going to go back to the North for any reason?
At this point, no. There's two episodes.
Yeah, but whenever you hear a character say, "I'm going to go to the North," I'll see you later. Sometimes you do revisit that. Something happens, right?
Yeah, no, that's
don't
true.
Just disappear and say, "I'm going to go to the North."
But maybe this is also the only way viewers can say goodbye to some of these characters.
Oh, I see. Because they're trying to whittle it down.
Right, because we got they were basically down to the brother and sister, you know, who are like into each other.
Yeah. Oh, they're both still alive.
Yes,
the Lannisters.
Well, hesitated. Did I just give?
Yeah, I was just trying to think about. Did Jaime get killed? No, he didn't get killed yet.
No, he just broke Bran's heart.
Classic Jaime breaking hearts.
He's got the metal hand. He's going down there.
Metal, come on.
Whatever it is,
gold,
whatever. They save money on that too, and they're on their way. And you know he's done the, now. The other big question on the interwebs, was what happened to their blonde hair? Did you see that? I mean, this is ridiculous. You have to be a total Game of Thrones geek to give a crap about anything that we're talking about here. But the brother and sister, and they, are arguably the two of the best looking actors in international cinema at the moment, are. This has been like the big deal. And they were always a golden blonde like this. And now they're sort of like dirty blondes, both of them. What happened there?
I've heard the argument that it's symbolic of them changing,
as
people.
That's deep.
Boy.
Changing to what?
Well, Jaime was very selfish and only cared about Cersei in the beginning. And then he started to kind of have a heart.
But why is she turning into a dirty blonde now?
She's never had a heart.
No, she's never had a heart. But she, things were a little
different. Blonder and blonder and blonder now?
Things were a little different when she had all her kids and she was,
If they're trying to save money at the end here with hair color and the direwolf, I'm going to be very disappointed. whatever the bad continuity control where they had a coffee cup on the desk or on the table during a very important scene. And now I understand that HBO, this just puts lie to my theory here.
Yeah.
That HBO has recut that and taken it out digitally.
Yeah, they digitally remove it from the scene, so if you go back and watch it, it will not be visible anymore.
Well, if it wasn't a Starbucks cup, why'd they remove it? Didn't they deny it was a Starbucks cup?
Yeah, it isn't a Starbucks cup. I think it was just a tea that Daenerys wanted.
You know, you can get those cups at Bed Bath & Beyond. Which they look like a Starbucks cup. They're the white with the brown around the middle and the whole kind of deal. So you can get those things. They look like, but they have no logo on them.
Yeah. Well, HBO did own up to that. They said, total mistake. Didn't intend to have that in there. It was a craft services thing. Daenerys wanted tea. We didn't see it. Now it's gone. Removed. No one has to talk about it anymore.
But this is what we're waiting for. We're waiting on this.
Amazing.
No one said goodbye to the Dire
yesterday
Wolf.
In the world.
Right. What's happening? Is he blowing his coat? If he goes south, it's warm. You know, they get warm. It's like, I don't know if I can do this. I
wanted to make sure he had a nice owner going forward.
People are being so harsh on Game of Thrones, and I feel really bad because, again, if you watch those like into the episode things and watch how much work is put into everything, they would never do these things on purpose to like upset people. Right. That whole episode with the battle against the White Walkers took 2 months to film. It is insane.
It is insane.
Seems like Throners get upset very easily. A lot of angry Throne fans on the social media I see.
Well, and so non-Game of Thrones fans, at Game of Thrones fans, I think they're angrier than the Game of Thrones
no,
fans.
No, definitely not. You
just
guys
come
have,
on
like,
over.
Emotional investment on this
well,
thing.
Well, and again,
creepy.
This is just how the internet is dividing us and making us nuts about stuff. I'm telling you, during Welcome Back, Kotter, nobody had a problem with Horshack. Nobody had the end of MASH, you know, when in the middle of MASH, when all of a sudden Henry Blake dies, you're like,
true.
Who? And it was like there had been, why would they kill him? What are they saying? All the people on the planet Earth who have useless opinions, who, you know, for the only time they would ever share their useless, always angry about the littlest thing kind of problem. It's an emotional, it's some sort of a mental problem. I don't know what it is. But the people who would do that, they would only share that with their family at Thanksgiving. That was it. Now, all day long, they have a place to vent. And we pay attention to them, and their own family doesn't pay attention to them. And somehow, that sense of grievance and they're out to get me and I can't stand any of this anymore has become the new way that we interact with each other. And it's such bullcrap.
Yeah, it's true. And it also feels as if the more polarizing you are, the more followers you get. And that's sort of
right.
A messed up element of social media. If you're fair, it's like you don't get any followers. If you say something absolutely crazy, people are like, oh, okay, we'll follow this person.
So I first went on Twitter in 2010 or 2011 or whatever year that was, right?
Okay.
Then and it was, you know, one of our guys was working for me. He goes, all right, here's where we're going to put you. We're going to put you on this, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, and, you know, you're going to start.
You had
no
a guy
followers.
For this?
I did have a guy for this. So it was explaining to me, like, how do you get followers on Twitter was my whole question.
Okay.
And again, we go back to this, you know, early on. He goes, yeah, the best way is to, first of all, you got to have a lot of stuff out there. And then start fights with people who have more followers than you.
Oh, gosh.
That's what he told me.
It's true.
And I'm like, I don't know, what do you mean? He goes, no, this, seriously, that's how it works. You can start fights with, you know, people who have more.
That was very telling, turns out.
Yeah.
Very telling.
And that was 2010 or 2011 or whatever year that was when that whole thing started.
Right.
2009.
Right. And so now it's like if you find someone on the other side of the aisle from you and you can start a fight who has more followers, then more people will join you because it's you against them. I mean,
right.
It really becomes Game of Thronian the way it,
yes,
the way people
are. It's ridiculous. I have a friend who's a, you know, big, you know, who's a big music star. And he got into a fight with a guy here in Chicago that had no followers. He got into a Twitter fight. And then next thing you know, they're in a bar in a confrontation.
Oh, gee.
And you're like, what are you doing?
It moved itself to real life.
Yeah. I'm like, first of all, it's all fake. And the outrage, and everybody's hiding behind their Twitter handle. I mean, I know we elected a president this way, but still, it's like the whole thing is about combat over nothing. Things that don't even actually really exist. You can't touch them. They're not tangible. I don't understand.
Don't tell Lauren that about dragons.
What? Ouch.
Are you implying I think dragons are real?
That dragon, yes, he is. That dragon is not dead, by the way. If I could just get back to that.
Really? Separation. You think the dragon's not dead?
That
coming back?
Yeah.
I would disagree.
I got a thing. I got a thought on it. All right, fine. And a nice little bet, a little side bet on that.
Mm-hmm.
Want a little action?
I'm in Rome.
I'm hot from the weekend. So, you know, I'm on a bit of a roll.
Right, the Derby was good to you. Or you, nice picks there.
The Steward was good to me.
Right, Churchill Downs, Churchill Downs was very favorable to Rokon.
Yes, that's how that worked out. All right. Okay, can I throw something else out at you?
Mm-hmm. Is it Game of Thrones related?
No, it is
not. To irritate Kevin?
Okay. No. Mm-hmm. No. But we mentioned the dire wolf. You mentioned dogs. Dogs and cats are being fed CBD products. Cannabinoid.
Yeah, the marijuana cousin.
Trying to provide relief to their four-legged friends. These are humans that are doing this for everything from anxiety to pain to seizures.
Oh, my gosh. This is like vet prescribed, or people are just using their own?
I think they're in pet stores.
Vets are prescribing them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, too.
Well, it's just like us in essential oils in a way. Right?
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't have the THC in it. It's just a calming.
Yeah, so that's why it kind of makes sense. You don't have the psychoactive pieces of it, the whole thing.
Right, so it's big. The dogs are digging it. Because, the dog loves anything that goes in its mouth. If you have okayed it, the dog will eat it, right?
I gave my dog mac and cheese today, and my little girl's like, she likes mac and cheese?
Oh, God.
Is that going to be bad? Does that end badly?
Well, it depends on your dog's constitution, and you've got one of those fancy breeds. So things
Golden
come
doodle.
Flying out of their keister sometimes, unannounced, when you've given them something that's not quite as digestible. I don't know if you've had that experience with yours, but...
Yeah, occasionally.
Yeah. You know, those like a fancy breed, you know, those inbred dogs, like the Lannisters.
Uh-huh.
You know, you give them something, and they're like you could give a shelter mutt anything.
That's so true. I've had shelter mutts pretty much my whole life. And this was not. But,
right.
And they are a little more particular.
Yes.
We have a vet prescribed food, but she was smelling the mac and cheese. And it was, she was like, you had to give her some. You don't want to waste the food.
But now we're supposed to get our dogs. Back in like college, remember there was always some dog from a fraternity house that they were constantly getting drunk or high. And then
it's just so cool.
Come over here, Scooter.
I don't think that's right.
It was just the worst.
It's like the worst joke ever. It's like,
right.
Play it on your friends. I don't know. I just don't like it when that happens.
No, I don't.
I just don't.
And I kind of think that this is sort of it. And the anxiety, I don't know. Does CBD work for anxiety with humans for real? Do we know?
I think it's supposed to.
Positive results.
Mm-hmm. Any kind of pain and anxiety, there's a lot of health benefits. People claim that it really it's one of the few things that works for a lot of people.
And this is being used. There is a specific formula just for thunderstorm anxiety.
Oh,
I mean, if it works, there's so many dogs that freak out about that. I mean, a lot of people use the jacket, the storm
thunder
jacket,
shirt.
the thunder shirt.
You have one of those, don't you, Rob?
I have a thunder shirt, and I do get in a hamper when a thunderstorm comes through. I like to go in the closet and I get in the hamper.
Hide under the table.
Yes. And I run immediately. No matter where I am, I run right back to my closet. Jump in the hamper, and I cover myself with my own clothes.
So you have, like, a Great Dane thunder shirt? Because I don't think they make them for humans, do they?
I had one made.
Oh.
Yeah. It's got a look.
It's Gucci.
It's custom.
Designer brand.
It's actually a Snuggie with rubber bands, but it's a separate issue. It's like, it works. It works.
You know why they don't make that for humans?
Yeah.
If we have anxiety.
Don't they have the heavy weighted blankets now?
Yeah.
People use
the what blankets?
Now.
Weighted blankets. They're like extremely heavy.
I saw that.
Yeah. What?
Over the weekend at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wait, what is that? It looked like, and I was thinking to myself, that's like the thing that the dentist puts on you when you're getting the X-rays on your teeth, and they put thing on you, and all of a sudden, I immediately have that. Can I breathe? I think I can't breathe.
It's crushing my chest.
I don't know what I can do here. I don't feel good.
I did not know about the weighted
blanket. Somebody was just telling me that they use a weighted blanket, and now they have the best night's sleep they've ever had. Oh. I think I would be absolutely panicked that I couldn't get my leg out.
Maybe
I
you should
have a leg out when I sleep.
Like a half-up weighted blanket.
Uh-huh.
So that your feet can shoot out, but then the top stays heavy.
We'll just get one and cut it in half, and we'll split it, Kim.
All right, there you go.
Solving everyone's problems
here
today.
Yeah, that's what we did right there. I still wanted, but when you put I want to get back to the dog on the CBD oil. So you're giving how do you know if it's working?
Well, that's a good point. I guess people can, if you get to know your pet, you get to know when they are in pain or they're sort of scratching or feel irritable. You could maybe figure this out.
If it's limping and it's not limping anymore, that's probably a good sign.
But is that
or when your dog breaks into the Dorito bag, you know it's working.
Boy, that bark sounds a little strange. Is that a bark on oil?
It's a bark on oil.
I thought that was a Game of Thrones thing. I'm like, what is this?
It sounds a little bit like a dragon or something.
I thought that was old school, like, Game Boy sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, playing Zelda.
312, my foster dog's on CBD hemp oil and anti-anxiety meds. Both.
So, I'm sorry, you're what?
I guess foster. Are they fostering a dog?
Okay.
So.
All right.
Got the CBD hemp oil and anti-anxiety meds.
Wow, that dog had to, if they have to foster the dog, something's happened, right? Fluffy had something very, very,
probably
very
true.
Bad.
Well, probably has really bad anxiety in shelters and can't be around other dogs.
Very true.
Thanks, yeah.
Thanks for fostering. Yeah. That's right. An awesome
thank
thing.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now make me feel bad. Fine.
The no fun police has arrived this afternoon, bro.
I didn't think we could make you feel bad. I think that was possible.
Everything today's getting shut down.
All of a sudden, they're like, thank you so much. I'm like sitting there. I wanted to have fun with them. Thank you for fostering. Thank you. And then, that happens, right? Like, you're in, like, a public situation and somebody says something.
Yeah.
And then you don't quite pick up on the tragedy of the situation. And you start having some fun. And they're like, thank you for your service.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you for your, thank you.
Don't roll up a newspaper around the dog.
Well, there are dogs, man. I mean, that's the thing. There are dogs that are just born nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are dogs that are just, you know, sort of made nervous, right? And awful, tragic kind of circumstances.
That's true.
But you don't know because the dog can't tell you the story.
But you do know. I've had one of those
like
dogs.
Like when you pick up the newspaper and the dog bolts for the other room and hides under the table. You're like, jeez.
It's so sad. I had a dog. You couldn't have anything in your hand that was, looked like it could be something to hit him. I mean, it's very sad why people do this. I don't know.
All right. See what just happened right there.
Sorry. Speaking on behalf of pets.
All right.
Makes me sad. Okay. Just like it made me sad about Ghost.
Maybe Jon Snow rolled up too many newspapers around his dog.
No. Wait, yeah, how many battles you got to take a dog into before it goes, hey, you know what? You're on your own. Next one.
He's probably happy.
This is really kind of you. So if you be you. I got that thing. The big ginger. I can't even tell what color his beard is because I have a different cone retinal sort of thing going on. But I just know that this guy seems like he wants to avoid the trouble. So I'm going to go with him.
Doesn't seem like the most kind and understanding sort of individual. But all right, maybe that's better.
That's the argument I would use if I were confronting a Game of Thrones critic about the dog and the whole thing. It's like, it's a better life. He's going to go up there. He can run around the north, land and with the wildings.
Right.
And
be cold.
Ghost can go find Nymeria. She's still around, remember?
Oh, my God. What is she talking about?
It was so deep.
Arya ran into her when she was making her way back to Winterfell, and she wanted her to come back. She's like, no, that's not you. But she's now running her own wolf pack.
Who was it?
Nymeria, Arya's wolf.
Oh.
Lauren, you can seriously host a show on these.
She might, actually.
It goes so deep.
You need your own podcast.
Totally.
Lauren is coming.
Oh, man.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Honestly, people are way more knowledgeable than me, so keep that in mind. You think I'm good. I'm not even close to a lot of these people that review the show.
I've seen the shows, but nowhere near.
All right. She pulled Nymeria right out of her pocket.
Totally.
Hat.
You're like, who? Haven't heard of
her. I can help the average audience with Game of Thrones.
Well, Kevin loves it. It's working great for Kevin.
Yeah, you've almost got him. He's almost going to keep going and watching it.
All right. Anyway, I don't know how these two things ever. But you notice how, like, once you get into the black hole of Game of Thrones, you can't get back out.
There's so much.
Trying to talk about
something connected.
Dogs getting stoned, and the next thing you know, we're back to the direwolf. And why would Jon Snow not say goodbye properly? First of all, when you leave a dog, you don't want to give a dog anxiety. Isn't that the whole thing they tell you about, like, that separation and border anxiety with dogs?
Yeah, right. You're not supposed to make a big deal.
Make a big, yeah.
But if you're leaving for the last time and you have a heart, I would think.
Well, how does he know he's leaving for the last time?
I don't. When is he going to see him?
Dogs always think you're leaving for the last time.
Yeah, what is it? That movie that have you been gone an hour or 7 years? I'm not sure.
Like, when you leave the house, the dog's like, "Oh my God, no!" Every time.
That's how my dog.
Every
sounds.
Time, and exactly. Then you show up and like, "You came back! Oh my God, that's great!"
It's such a celebration, even if you've been gone a half an hour.
Right.
It's like, that's why we love dogs.
Right. The cat doesn't care. The cat's like, I'm just waiting.
You again.
I got to figure this out. The cat's trying to figure out everything that goes on in the house. The cat's trying to figure out your passcode for your bank account.
They will take you down if they can.
Right.
A lot of cats.
Right.
And all the stuff on your shelves.
They check. You know when they do that thing, they like when you're asleep at night and the cat comes up and it's like around your head. It's just trying to figure out if you're still breathing. That's all it's doing.
Suffocate this person.
Right. And if you're not still breathing, they're like, all right, I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up.
Or they do that fake affection thing when they really just want you to feed them.
Right.
All right, I'll pretend
like,
to like you.
I like
you.
The small little taps. They're like, and it's like, stop touching me.
Or they get in between your feet. They get somehow into your sheets.
Uh-huh.
And they get in between your feet, and they're like, I'm going to come down here right now and push you out of this bed. Oh, man.
That's why you don't have a cat.
I don't have a cat.
You're just a grand... you have a grand puppy, though.
I do have a grand puppy, but I did have a... I did live with two cats at one point, neither of which were mine.
Surprise.
Yeah. And that was a... they didn't like me. I didn't like them.
Sometimes that's better. You just set those ground rules up
right.
front.
Wasn't like we were going to try and fake anything about the relationship.
You had to sit down with them right off the bat. All right, you two, sit down. I don't like you. You don't like me, but we got to get through this together because she wants you here.
Right. I mean, that was the problem. She had just gotten the cat before we got together.
Oh.
And the cat still had, it was a boy cat, still had its testicular situation, and I was the one that had to take him to get him cut off.
Oh, wow.
So, tough to he come remembers
back
that.
And when he came back, he was like, I'm going to tell you something right now. If I ever get the chance, I'm doing the same frickin' thing to you. It's exactly the look he gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And she demanded that he have claws, too, which is a whole other situation.
Well, a lot of people don't believe in that.
Yeah,
she kind of, I was going to say, she kind of did when she brought the two cats into your home.
Yeah. That was kind of your thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say she knew what she was doing there. Setting up like a territorial thing?
Yeah.
Oh, she knew what she was doing.
Taking the leaving the hair tie thing to
I'm
a whole new
I'm bringing my cats
level.
Over. I don't care what you say, Ro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that was
three against one.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. It was right. That's exactly right. Leaving possessions behind, uh-huh. to in the corners.
Yeah.
So what the cats did is they came and peed in the corners, is what they did immediately. They just walked in and they're like, and that's what the big one, uh-huh. especially, he was the one who's like, listen, I'm a purebred. I'm an a-hole. My relatives served with pharaohs and queens.
Uh-huh. Hunted dragons, probably.
I am going to piss in your corner right now.
Oh gosh!
On your own clothes. It literally went into the hamper. It pulled out my clothes out of the hamper. I kid you not that this happened.
And just yours.
Just mine. Separated the laundry. I couldn't even separate the laundry. It separated the laundry, pulled it out, peed on it.
Classic cat move.
And just left it right there. Like, go ahead. Your move, pal.
Letting you know the order, the hierarchy there. Yeah.
And if you ever tried to have any kind of an intimate moment, the cat was like there, right there. The cat was like, listen. Sometimes, like, I can't, you two, I'm going to just have to separate you.
Well, couldn't you lock the cat out of the
room? Oh, my God, try that.
Yeah, that didn't
work. Listen to what's going on outside the door. Because a cat, when a cat really wants your attention, it does make a sound like mm-hmm. something's dying. It wasn't just a meow. It wasn't one of those kinds of things. It was like a full-on caterwauling scream.
You survived, bro.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Barely. But I'm telling you, I will never forget them. I can see in my mind's eye, I still see it. I see, you know, like you open up a closet and there was the hamper at the bottom with everybody's clothes in it.
Uh-huh.
Right? And then except for like three of my own items pulled out and on the floor and doused in cat pee. Now, it doesn't get more aggressive. Forget about passive aggressive. That is aggressive. That is like, this is a fight. And you are not going to win it, pal.
Can't come back from cat pee. You got to burn that corner.
Oh, no, you can't. Yeah. I mean, the whole
thing. Doesn't come out easily.
Right, and he just decided, listen, I'm just going to do this. And we took him to, like, a vet to give him, like, anxiety. But, you know, they put him on Valium. But it didn't work. He worked his way through Valium.
Try CBD oil next
right.
time. Mm-hmm. Do they have thunder shirts for cats?
He was like, I got, you know, I'm on the Valium. And let me tell you something. I'm mellow and still pissed. All right.
Well, that ended not so well.
No. So I don't have a... First,
they leave a toothbrush behind, then they're moving in with two cats. Seen it 100 times.
Yeah. That is really true. All right. Can we move along now to Kim Gordon? She's got the WGN News at the top of the hour or somewhere thereabouts. Right here on 720 WGN.
No more Game of Thrones talk.
Actually, we're not even on the 720 WGN. I just said we were in, I lied. We're on the World Wide Web right now. WGN everywhere. That's the important thing. Yeah, and no more.
Just for, at least for today.
Right.
We can make that promise.
Make a cottage industry out of the Game of Thrones talk. Mm-hmm. We're going to take you through the top 5 at 5, and then we've got that thing.
We got the thing, yeah. We got to do that.
Yeah,
we got to
go do.
Imagine we missed that.
Right, but I mean, people. All they want is a top 5 at 5 anyway. Let's just be honest.
God, you can't have a day without a top 5 at 5. A weekday is not the same.
Right.
Without on the weekend, I call Rome, and on the phone, he does a top 5 for me.
He'll do that for you. He will.
I go, Rome, it's 5. I don't care if you're at dinner. I need a top 5.
Well, he does it at dinner. That's what you don't know.
Coming in at number 5.
As soon as it's 5, he goes, whoop, guys, put down your drinks. I've seen
better,
him do that.
It's actually better with a drink in your hand.
I have found
often. Weekend editions are pretty wild. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Sort of like the stream.
Mm-hmm.
So, can go anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. All right, here we go. It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show. 5. Let's go.
3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number 5.
R. Kelly appeared in Cook County Criminal Court this morning for another hearing in a sex abuse case. The hearing lasted only about 10 minutes. Kelly was required to be there because he was a no-show at the last one.
Oh, gosh, that's not good.
No. Well, remember his excuse was, I had no idea.
Oh.
No one ever told me. It was in the news!
It was what?
It was on the news!
Yeah. You got to keep track of these things.
I mean, they didn't have a lawyer who said to him, hey, you know what? We just got served with this. We got to be there.
He's got Steve Greenberg, who has represented a lot of high-profile clients, and I'm sure makes his clients aware as a general practice of their upcoming court dates.
One would imagine. So when he goes, I had no idea this was going on, I found it hard to believe. Now, I don't know. I don't know, Mr. Kelly. I don't know Mr. Greenberg, although we've talked to him a number of times. I don't know if Mr. Greenberg knew about it. Maybe he didn't know about it. But how would he not know about it? Mr. Kelly?
I find that hard to believe.
I don't know. Anyway, so he's a no-show. Now he says he's going to be there. And their next status is in June. So Greenberg says that he wants to see all of the evidence the state has against his client.
I don't think the judge was skeptical. It's an unusual request. I think he wants us to just spell out why the state needs to produce them. They're going to produce them. We can FOIA them. We're going to get them. This is Cook County. It takes a while to get the stuff. The last case took years and years. The Van Dyke case took years and years. We hope this doesn't take that long. But the state has an obligation to produce the stuff for us, and I'm sure they will. They're going to have to get all the records from the prior trial. That's going to take time also.
You know, fans showed up for R. Kelly at these court hearings. I mean, they seem like routine, and normally they would be, but his fans are showing up. Seems that he has not lost his devoted fandom.
They knew to show up.
They knew.
He didn't know
they
to show up.
They should have phoned him. Hey, see you at court. Okay.
Hey, R. Kelly, you coming to court today?
The interesting piece of this, though, Steve Greenberg is asking for, remember Michael Avenatti, before he was indicted,
mm-hmm.
was waving around all of this information about how he had all these videotapes and all this evidence and that he was forthcoming, he was giving news conferences. Well, now the lawyer for R. Kelly, Steve Greenberg, wants all conversations and any kind of communication between Avenatti and prosecutors, Kim Fox's office, to see what was happening there. What had happened there.
Was. There, apparently, Mr. Avenatti, sort of in contact with our people here today.
Our people?
Yeah.
The WGN?
Our people, the Rokondra with Anna DeVlantis.
Oh, our people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess he went on Twitter today and said, hey, this is, you know, what we've got. He went back to Greenberg.
But if you have it, produce it. And it feels as if at least one of the videotapes he promised to have has not been produced. And if he's the lawyer, he would be entitled to that. So you wonder, is this Avenatti playing that game that he played before? Or is this Avenatti just withholding it? I don't know.
Quite honestly, I want all of these people out of my life.
Including R. Kelly.
I want R. Kelly out. I want Michael Avenatti out. I want the whole thing. I'm Michael Cohen now. At least he's in jail until the situation calls me and says, he's acting real weird, man. Takes a lot of time in the John. Until I hear that, I don't care about these people anymore. I just don't care. I mean, R. Kelly eventually, I think it's going to become clear what happened.
You have so many women now coming forward who didn't know each other with similar stories, and we've seen how that is what it takes often to make those claims be taken seriously. And I feel that they are being taken seriously now.
All right. Checking in at
number four.
CNN's Dana Bash, and I don't know why we have to call her that because her name is Dana, but whatever.
I think her name's Dana.
Right. But it's spelled Dana.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you want to be called Dana, add an N.
We'll have to tell her that.
She interviewed Dr. Jill Biden, the wife of Joe Biden, and asked her about the continuing issue of the former vice president's history of unwanted hair sniffing.
Yeah, he comes from a very affectionate family. They're always touching. And I think Joe is one thing I've admired about Joe is the way he makes connections with people. But recently, I mean, times have changed, and Joe has heard that, you know, to back off and give people their space, and he has now taken responsibility for that.
Okay.
And Politico confirms there's been no hair sniffing on the first week, full week on the road for his 2020 candidacy.
No hair sniffing.
No nose-to-cheek nuzzles, no intimate whispers with strangers.
Kisses
on nothing
the head.
Of that kind has
right.
occurred.
Head kissing, petting of the head.
Unwanted touching.
Right. Putting hands on both shoulders.
Over-elongated hugging.
From behind or from the front. See, now that's where it gets a little weird, you know?
Unless you're playing leapfrog, don't touch my shoulders.
Right. Especially if you don't see it coming, and all of a sudden both shoulders get touched simultaneously. Like, who did that? What the fuck? What?
Yeah.
Stay, get away from me!
Hair sniffing. Oh.
Right.
Just creeps you out thinking about that.
Yeah, the hair sniffing. It's a weird, you know. You smell so good.
What shampoo do you use?
What does one whisper to a woman when you're sniffing her hair and you don't know her? Like, what do you say? What's communicated?
Is that conditioner? Or is that Aquanet? God, I love the smell of Aquanet.
I use Head and Shoulders.
We should just start putting mace in our hair as females.
Some kind of chemical.
Yeah. Back off, man.
Anthrax.
Wait a second. My eye's hurting. I don't know what that's all about, but I can't get enough of your smell. Of your essence.
He's 20.
Who are you voting for?
Looks like people are voting for him.
Seriously, can I count on your vote? Oh, God, you smell good.
Can I come in the voting booth with you?
Oh, gosh.
I'll hold your shoulders and sniff you while you vote. Joe Biden, check the name.
Right. Hold on. Wait, you know you feel a little tense. Let me give you a little back rub while I'm here.
Ew. I'm walking into the booth.
All right. I'm just going to do that thing where I'm just going to roll my hands over your shoulders, kind of down to your...
size waist are you?
Hold on. Yeah, let me see if I can actually get my thumbs and fingers to meet around your waist. Hold on, I got that.
What size shoe are you? Let me touch your feet, too.
I think what size anything are you? Always bad. Oh, you always.
You have got the best tri-del.
What?
I mean, what is this thing called? Deltoid. You know what? That's right. That's, but were you a tri-delt? I can't remember.
Can I smell your tri-delt?
No Greek leg for me.
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking about a tricep?
That's what I meant. That's right, tricep. Yeah, yeah, gotcha. You got the best tricep. Okay. Hold on, I gotta smell your neck now. By the way, I was Vice President of the United States.
The White House.
Wait, here's more Joe Biden making excuses.
And someone asked me, you know, did this ever happen to you? And I have to say, it has happened to me.
But and
like 20 years ago, and I did not have the courage to speak up then and say,
to
stop
Joe?
That. You're in my space. Now I would have the courage, but 20 years ago, I wouldn't. Times have changed.
Wait, to her husband or to another guy?
I don't understand.
It happened to her from a stranger.
A stranger, okay.
However, another follow-up question would be, have you ever intervened when you saw that women were physically uncomfortable when your husband's done that? Have you ever pulled him aside and just said, hey, that's didn't look like that was cool?
Oh, but she smelled so good.
She smelled like Joe.
Oh, man. Oh. Are you in Charlie? Maybe, you know.
Charlie.
Do you mind if
I
want to sniff your underarms.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't know. I love your deodorant. God, it's good deodorant. It's kind of a baby powder smell.
I use Old Spice.
Baby powder.
Just lift your right arm. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. All right, wait, there's more. There's more of her? I can't believe this.
Was there ever a time over the decades where you said, honey, I know this is your DNA, but maybe it's not the way that you should interact
good choice
with people, especially when you're dealing with women?
That's the follow-up question.
No, I didn't say anything to him, I guess because that's the way he... that's just the way Joe was, but... Times have changed, and now things are different, and he has to back off a little bit and let people come to him. He shouldn't go to them.
Now she just cuts off a little bit of her hair and leaves it on her dresser so he can get his fix. Keeps it in his pocket and pulls out
this. What? What do you mean? What do you mean his DNA? Why is your DNA there?
Are we looking into DNA now?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
I can't explain that either.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Oh, God.
Yet he's 20 points ahead of the nearest second person, Bernie.
Let me ask you this question. Mm-hmm. A guy like him was coming up and, you know, doing some hair sniffing, and he doesn't seem like rapey or predatory to me. He doesn't seem like that guy. I mean, he's like doddering, like, you know, he seems affable. Am I wrong about that? What's your read? I'm a guy, so I don't know.
I think, you know, I don't think this would cross any lines of being, you know, illegal or like a sexual harassment. It just seems like unwanted affection, which is something I think most women have experienced in their lives. And it's a hard thing to sort of get yourself out of, especially when that person is someone in power. So I just think, you know, it is what it is. He probably was well-intentioned with it. But at some point, it is your responsibility to read how it's received. Isn't that what all of us as humans have to do every day? Even if you're not a politician or if you're a regular human?
She should put a shock collar on him. because if he goes anywhere near, you know, like oh, God, you smell so good.
The best is when the audio comes out, because I wonder if it's like what you're saying wrong. What did you say?
We should mic up all the women that he's, you know, at a just like they do in the NFL, you know, where they mic up the players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know I can count on your vote. All right. Enough. Moving on.
Number three.
Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, will not be the war to end all wars, Disney announced today. that after this final chapter in the latest trilogy is released on December 20th, three more Star Wars films will hit theaters every other year starting in 2022. Richard Roper sent us this list of things today.
So funny how far forward-thinking they are.
Yeah, now, okay, so I'm lost. When this is, all right, so in the first two, I must have missed the second one.
Wait, what?
I know
that... What are you talking about, first two?
Of this trilogy. This.
The first two trilogies?
No, this of this trilogy, mm-hmm. this one now.
Yes.
That's got the guy from Girls in it.
Yes.
You know, that...
Adam Driver.
Yeah, Adam, right. So, in the first one, we find out he's, you know, who he is. He's Adam Driver. He's the guy from Girls. We find out that, you know, he wants to keep something from happening. I'm trying to even remember what happened in this.
No, so he's the son of Han and Leia,
mm-hmm.
but he turns to the dark side and wants to, he idolizes his grandfather, who is Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to, you know, kind of take over. And then the second one is kind of where Rey and Kylo really start connecting, and Rey is trying to learn from Luke Skywalker.
Rey's the woman, the young...
Rey's the girl.
The girl, right. Yes. And she's right, she sees Luke Skywalker like on a cliff somewhere in Game of Thrones.
She finds him.
Right, like on a, it looks like you know
where they shot Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it looks exactly like we there should be ships from Euron Greyjoy.
Euron again.
Okay, so anyways, the point is that they and she's becoming, I think I'd missed the second one. I think that's the thing. I know that, because that's how the first one ended, is she shows up in the Game of Thrones set with him.
And awkwardly holds the lightsaber for mm-hmm. like 50 seconds.
That lightsaber. Oh, that smells so good, too. All right, so whatever happens there. And now this last one, are we anticipate what? So we don't know if he's going to stay on the dark side. How did the last one end? Adam Driver still...
Yeah, so
bad.
He you thought he might be transitioning to the good side a little bit, but it's really that he just wants to take over and change how the galaxy is run. So it's safe to say he's back on a bad side.
Okay. All right.
Too soon.
All right. Okay. But we have to wait now. What do we have any idea, since you're a fangirl, do you know what happens on the other side of this, too? Like, the next trilogy is all going to be about?
Well, from what I'm reading, it doesn't seem like it's going to be another trilogy. It's just going to be other Star Wars stories.
Not related to this storyline. Because wasn't that Red Rogue One thing?
Yeah, like Rogue One was a Star Wars story. So it's pretty much based off in between Episode 4 and...
Of course. Kevin, write this down.
Everybody knows that.
I like how you're trying to geek out, Ro, and you're just like not even able to communicate.
It's like, I'm not. I just want an answer. I figure that there are geeks out there who understand this, and I'm just trying to have her explain it because she's got it sort of figured out. Do you have this figured out?
No, I don't.
All right.
But I'm totally lost.
I think there's, of the four of us, there's nobody here, five. I don't think Kim's got this figured out either. I don't think that there's anybody who can actually work her way through this. You know, somehow she can.
True.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Wait, no, he's dead. Wait,
he
no, the actor's dead.
Yeah.
Is Chewie also dead? Did we kill Chewie at any point?
No, Chewie's alive.
We did kill Han Solo, though, right?
Yes, Kylo Ren did, his son.
That's when we realized he was not coming over to the right side.
His own son killed him, right. Sent him into the evaporator or something. I remember that. He like fell, and that was like the end. And then they get back, and it was like the thing like from Jaws where you come back, you know, where's Hooper? And then, where's Robert Shaw? And then
he just gives a little nod.
He gives that negative, like, no, didn't make it.
And then they swim back to the shore.
Right, yeah. So now there's a movie right there.
That's
friend.
A hell of a movie. That's what I'm talking about.
Quint, no. Greatest line in film history.
That's all you needed to know.
All right.
So we've got Star Wars and Avatar until 2027. Disney's confirming.
Yeah. Do we really need five Avatars?
I don't know.
Do we really need 400 Star Wars?
Yes, we do.
Okay. See how they get short with me, Ro. When I criticize their nerd, I'm just done.
Do not go near there.
Do you guys think it's a good idea to make 400? Yes, of course it is, Kevin, you moron! Why wouldn't they make 400 Star Wars?
Well, they are going to make a boatload of money on this.
Well, they're going to make a boatload on...
Well, Avatar. Now, wait, Avatar. How many Avatars have we had already?
Just one. That's what's crazy.
That's
really?
What's weird. You just thought they'd have at least one sequel before they would unveil up to 2027.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're going to bring out like 2 and 3 within back-to-back years or something like that.
I can't remember how that one ends. Does the shark die in that one too? What happens at the end of the first Avatar?
Some guy doesn't properly say goodbye to his dog and everybody gets upset about it.
I just remember, it's not like a good world, right?
It doesn't like the whole little village get destroyed by...
Right, the whole, like that hot monkey horse girl or whatever she is, it's blue.
What? Oh my gosh, bro.
Whatever happened to Avatar? It was like the biggest,
Still the biggest movie of all time.
Right, and then like nothing came, and that was it. Like there was nothing. It's just like people forgot about it.
Because they've taken too long to make a sequel.
It's kind of like a segue,
isn't it?
When did Avatar come out? Like 10, 15 years ago?
The most important thing is that Disney, it has it in its theme parks. And so Star Wars and Avatar, they think, are sort of going to feed Disney attendance for years to come.
Came from the Fox thing, right? Didn't they, and their Fox acquisition? Hey, I wasn't swearing. That's a 21st Century Fox.
No,
that's a movie studio. And then Disney just bought them from the, the Fox people.
Yeah.
The Fox heads.
The Fox heads.
So there was a. It's like a whole. They've got a whole new universe that they want to add into. Mm-hmm. They want to keep selling because that's the thing that really works. But really, all right. So I need to go back to this now. I'm sorry, but I need to get back to this. So you got Avatar. Mm-hmm. So it was like this guy who's like a real guy who falls in love. They make him into an avatar, even though he's sitting in a tube somewhere, and he falls in love with this thing that looks like a horse monkey girl that's blue. But hot. But very hot. And you can't quite figure out why she's hot, but she's hot. Is that right? Am I right about that?
Yeah. Joe Biden thinks she's hot. What do you think she smells
great
like?
Great hair.
You do smell like blueberries. Exactly what I thought you were going to smell like. I don't know. What was that thing? That was, who's the actress? That was like very famous.
She's the one that plays Gamora in Avengers. Or in Guardians. What is her name?
Yeah, she's a big deal.
She's green in that one.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and she's blue in this other deal.
Isn't it Zoe Saldana?
Yes, Zoe Saldana.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know what to make of any of this.
But it looks like Disney's going to try to dominate the holiday season until for years to come. But the next Star Wars isn't for another 3 years, I think. It's not like they're going to start cranking them out.
But they're going to crank out they've got one coming out every Christmas until 2027 now.
Is
between
that right?
Avatar and Star Wars.
Mm.
That's their plan. Is Zoe Saldana coming back?
She should.
Right?
She totally should.
I'm pretty sure, remember, the whole thing was the end is they officially put his body into the Avatar's body and it ends with his eyes opening. And then
in the whole Avatar universe then.
Right, like he's officially one of them. I can't remember what they're called, though.
No longer like a human on Mars or Earth or wherever the hell this thing started, and now he's just an Avatar.
Yeah, that tree pretty much put his life into that alien body.
See? I knew she'd be able to figure it out.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie.
All right. And checking in at...
Number 2.
Hard to believe we're only up to number 2, isn't it?
I can't believe it either. We just get stuck on some things.
Stephen Colbert talked about how former federal prosecutors signed a statement saying that Trump would have been arrested for obstruction of justice were he not president.
Donald Trump evidently he pulled off the perfect crime.
All right, boys, here's the plan. Jimmy, you drop into the vault from the ventilation shaft. Mike, you keep the car running. Meanwhile, I'll get elected president.
That is actually how it happened. That's the crazy thing. And finally,
number 1.
Yesterday, our own Ben Bradley teased a story about airport hustlers.
Yeah.
These are people who show up in cars and they act like they're changing their tire, and you're standing out there waiting for a cab or whatever. Hey, we thank you. Come on, we thank you. You come, we take you.
And you're not supposed to accept a ride at O'Hare, as we all know, or Midway,
right,
by someone who is asking you. You should be in the appropriate lines.
So he went undercover with a red suitcase and a baseball cap, because no one would see Ben Bradley coming in a baseball cap, and caught offenders in the act. And now here's the interesting thing. We played a little bit of this yesterday, but now we have the full long-form thing of the... This is the Mike Wallace, you're busted moment.
Is this legal? Are we supposed to be doing this?
It does the city plate, so the city of Chicago.
Oh, it's the city of Chicago plate, right. That makes it okay?
Right.
I don't think you're allowed to pick people up at the airport, are you?
Huh?
Are you allowed to pick people up at the airport?
So what does this mean?
It says livery, but you're supposed to have a prearranged rides only here.
So how you know that?
Because I know the law. Are you hustling people at the airport?
No. I'm not hustling. Come on, man. Forget it.
What do you mean, forget it? Because you're not supposed
you
to do that.
You? Show me your ID.
I'm a reporter. I'm not
no,
the police.
Well, I don't care, you know. Why you do this, you know?
Huh?
Come on.
Because you're not supposed to be doing this. People get into trouble doing this. It's against the law.
Was this the one who was grabbing the microphone while he was talking to him? Or there was one of them that was doing that?
Don't touch my microphone. It's my microphone!
Somebody made a gif of the guy trying to grab the mic out of Ben's hand. It's pretty entertaining.
Can we have that? Don't grab my microphone. Don't grab my microphone! Don't grab my microphone! Words never otherwise uttered by Ben Bradley. All right.
You got through it.
Okay. Well... It's funny that moment of realization that the guy has, mm-hmm. that he's like, he's dealing with a guy who knows what he's doing.
He's like, forget about it. Don't worry about it. Let's move on from it.
Do you have a permission to do a film and ask people here?
I'm a reporter and this is a public place. I don't need permission, sir. Oh. You're the one who needs permission and a license to be given rides.
All right.
And he's getting my face, this guy.
Okay. Are you offering rides legally here? Don't grab my microphone. Don't grab it.
Please don't do this. What are you doing this?
Well, because I'm wondering whether an rides here.
Oh, my God. It sounds like your guy. The guy that you talk about when you're in the neighborhoods, Ro.
That is a little different neighborhood, but yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's a guy who's partially a house contractor, driver, handyman, fixer, nightclub operator, all at the same time.
He's getting my face, this guy.
Okay. Right, this guy getting my face. What are you crazy guy? What are you doing this for? Oh, man.
Sometimes when you hear that, it can be kind of threatening.
Yeah.
This guy gets in my face.
Yeah. Why are you putting me out of the business, big guy? Why are you doing this to me? I'm just trying to make money, like you. I'm just trying to put food on table for family. And cocaine and nightclub. That's all I'm doing. This is all the time I have for you now. All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck.
It was a good report.
Yes. And it was good. Like, these guys don't anticipate. And it really, honest to God,
yeah.
Of all the things going on in this town, I'm least worried about this.
It doesn't even hit the radar screen.
Right. It really was like, oh, my God, people, you know, like gypsy cabs at the airport. Oh, no. But you know, it was good. But it was good because you know, we find these guys and they don't know what to do, and they're like, and they're driving away. Just imagine what that guy's grumbling to himself while he's driving away from Ben Bradley. Who is that guy? Doesn't even know what's his channel? Is he on? Is that the Rob Johnson? I don't even know anymore what this one is.
Do you think he's already back at the airport?
Oh yeah,
yeah, really.
Just looking for guys with red caps, right?
He's gonna just beat the crap out of the first guy he sees with the red hat.
Right, exactly.
He's getting my face, this guy.
Okay. This guy, look at this guy. He's getting my face. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? Oh, my God. All right. I think it's time to wrap this up and wrap up the remainder of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on this fine Tuesday afternoon. We'll mm-hmm. back with you tomorrow on 720 AM WGN and on the World Wide Web. You can always listen to us simultaneously here as well, starting at 3 o'clock. And I just want to close this out first.
The top five at five.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.